A happy new year to all the citizens of Michigan. I am sure that the greetings of your new governor are joined in by your outgoing governor, who is here today in a fine spirit of cooperation and good sportsmanship. I am confident that your judiciary, your new legislature, and all the men and women of your new state administration join me in wishing you all a most happy new year. The term of office to which you have elected your legislature and executive will mark the end of the first half of the 20th century. Not quite 2,000 years ago, Jesus of Nazareth said that he came into this world so that men might have life and life abundant. He spoke, it is true, of the life of the Spirit, but he enjoined all men to have a care for one another, not only in the matters of the Spirit, but in the production and distribution of the necessary goods of this world. We of the Western democracy live in a civilization built upon the teaching of that man of Nazareth. It is for this purpose that man may, in fact, live together as brothers, having a care for one another, that modern democratic states exist. Our century began with great promise of abundance for all mankind, and with high hope that the traditions of Moses and Jesus might finally flower in our lifetime in true freedom for all men. The inventive and productive genius of the American people, nowhere more strongly manifest than in Michigan, seemed to promise that everyone, everywhere, might have a sufficiency of the good things of life. But the very material progress which held this bright promise created problems which challenged the depths of our spiritual strength. We have passed through a great depression because we had not discovered how to distribute abundance. We have been forced to fight two great wars, testing our belief that all men are created equal, and to ensure that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from this earth. In Michigan, as nowhere else in the world, we have felt the impact of these new problems. Where once a few hundred men were employed in wagon factories, great industrial complexes now lift their smoking chimneys to the sky. Once a rural community of small towns, Michigan has become the arsenal of democracy and the great workshop of the Western world. It is not surprising that we have met with difficulties and disappointments in adjusting our government to the problems of this new industrial civilization. We have indeed made considerable progress. We have started to improve the machinery of our government so that it can be more responsive to the people's needs. We have made beginnings in other fields, recognizing the responsibility of government for the aged, for the support of those thrown out of employment, for the peaceful solution of quarrels between management and labor. All of us, regardless of party, want to make progress. But there has been, in the opinion of some of us, a relaxation of effort in the last several years. It has surely been due not to lack of goodwill, but to disagreement as to the course we should follow. In certain areas, it seems plain that we have not kept up with our time or with the progress of sister states. Many of our returning veterans who fought to defend our homes have been unable to find homes of their own. The cost of this failure in individual and public morale, health, and decency cannot be calculated. We have been somewhat callous to the just requirements of our aged citizens, of those injured in industrial accidents, and of those who are out of jobs through no fault of their own. We have not succeeded in maintaining educational opportunities at the high standards to which the children of Michigan are entitled. We have fallen short in guaranteeing first-class citizenship to all of our people, regardless of creed or color. We have permitted our highway system, the basic transportation medium of the people, to deteriorate. We have abused our rich water resources, upon which the prosperity of farms and factories, as well as public health and recreation, depends. We have not succeeded in making rural Michigan famous for its fruits and food, as industrial Michigan is famous for its automobiles and other factory products. We have failed to establish the legal and governmental basis for harmonious cooperation of workers and employers. But let us not waste time asking why these things have not been accomplished. The responsibility in the final analysis lies not upon any man or group of men, but upon all of us, the people of Michigan. But none of these problems is insoluble. All of them can be solved, or substantial progress made toward a solution, if we will make up our minds to work together. I am sure that the people of Michigan have elected men and women who will work together in all the branches of the government. I want to speak plainly to my colleagues on this point. Under our democratic system, political campaigns are basic and fruitful. Without the give and take of partisan debate, the issues would never become clear. The people could not choose their course, and we should soon find ourselves under the heel of a one-party dictatorship. But another thing is equally true. Our democratic system also requires that partisans be broad-minded enough to forget partisanship after the election in all matters affecting the public welfare. This principle applies with special force in our present circumstances. The people of Michigan have not chosen to give their trust completely into the hands of any one party. They have elected a bipartisan administration. The meaning of the people's decision is plain. They believe that we, whom they have elected, possess the moral strength to subordinate partisan interests to the common good. The people expect that all of their officials will cooperate in the public interest. I believe that the people are right, that we can, regardless of party differences, work together for good government. I pledge you to do my part to carry out this, the most unmistakable mandate we have been given. The people of Michigan have a right to expect this type of cooperation. But there exists no right without a corresponding duty. To the people of Michigan, I say, you have a duty to us, your elected leaders, and to yourselves. It is your duty to continue without relaxation the high interest you have shown in the affairs of your state. Whatever success your legislature and your executive may achieve in your behalf during the coming 2 years will depend finally upon you. The continued active interest of the people of Michigan in good government, in fair government, in government in the public interest is the keystone of the hopes with which all of your officials today take up the burden of government. You must be eternally vigilant if you would be free. You must observe closely what is being done or not done beneath the dome of this venerable Capitol. You must understand the vital and often complex issues which come before the legislature. You must weigh the recommendations of your governor. You must constantly discuss and debate these matters in the shop, the farm, the marketplaces, the halls of business, and the union meetings of this Commonwealth. You must judge for yourselves whether you are getting the kind of government for which you voted. Of course, the people cannot judge intelligently unless they know the facts. To you, the press and radio and other information media of Michigan, I say, you too have a duty. In this land, thank God you are free. Free to report the truth, free to distort the truth, if that is your pleasure. The protecting arm of the people keeps you free, and informing the people fully and truthfully is your sole final title to profit on your operations. I know that you too will cooperate, and I pledge you that I will do my part. No fact of public interest shall be withheld from you. No avenue of public information shall be closed to you if I, as governor, can prevent it. There are, of course, the great problems of public morality, which overshadow all political issues. The morality and health of our state is the job of the churches and schools. I know that these great agencies, without which good government cannot exist, will continue to teach and preach those basic principles upon which all sound legislation must be founded. So today, we here highly resolve that we shall work together in a mighty cause to advance our Commonwealth along the path to a better life for all its people. In this task, I plead for and expect the cooperation of every official and every citizen. I am conscious of my responsibility and of my limitations. I ask no man to wear my collar or to sacrifice his own honest convictions. I ask only that we all work together during these 2 years as a team, the Michigan team. To all of the people of Michigan, on behalf of all of us in whom you have reposed your trust, I say thanks, thanks, and thanks again. We shall do our best to be worthy of the honor which you have given us. So help us God.